motherfuckers. It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Skankfest, the first show we've done since Skankfest. Happy Wednesday. I'm still recovering. My groin is pulled. My back is fucked up. My voice is fucked up. But what I will say, undoubtedly, one of the highlights of my life this past weekend at Skankfest NYC, the fourth installment of Skankfest 2019, I could not be any happier. I really couldn't be. You know, so many amazing memories. Every year we say this, every year it gets bigger and better. Obviously, the biggest news coming out of Skankfest is a special drop-in performance by comedy legend Louis C.K. I'm not going to introduce it anymore as disgraced, fallen comedian Louis C.K. Fuck that. We have to, as leaders in this industry, lead. We have to make the fucking decision to not let a few people on the fucking internet, very few people that don't represent the vast majority of people, we can't let them dictate the words we use anymore and the way and be afraid to kind of say what we all think. Because you know what? There was 200 comics at Skankfest this weekend. No one complained. We had women, black men, trans people, gay people. We had every type of person under the sun. Nobody complained about Louis C.K. being there. Okay, I'm going to go over a lot of the what happened there and dispel a lot of the mysteries surrounding the weekend. But let me tell you something. It was such a positive, incredible fucking environment. Club owners need to speak up. Club owners need to just say, hey, Louis, come the fuck in our doors. Come work. Because I think that's the right thing to do at this point. He needs to go and create, no matter what way you feel about it. If you feel like Louis is a monster and he fucking hurt these people, well, you know what? Guess what? Comedy is the best form of therapy in the world. Okay? You look at yourself in a very different way when you're trying to write a joke about yourself and you're trying to make fun of yourself and you're trying to look for the lightheartedness in some fucked up situations. There's nothing more therapeutic in the entire fucking world. So let him go heal himself. He's a master at it. He's a master. And what will come out of it, the positivity that will come out of Louis C.K.'s comedy is way more powerful than any of the negativity that he calls in those girls' lives. Way, way, way more powerful. Let him fucking create. And more people need to speak up. More comedy festivals need to say, yeah, if Louis shows up, of course we're going to put him on. Of course we are. I want to welcome our guest today, and I want to get a lot of opinions. We're going to have maybe take some calls on today's show as well. Just one guest, because honestly, to be honest, we don't need another guest when we have this man on. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the legendary Jeremiah Watkins.
Hey.
What up, baby boy?
An honor to be here. Thanks for having me, brother.
What's going on, man? Sorry to throw you in after my entire like you might completely disagree with me. I'm like, you know what? And everyone here today, Louis deserves another shot.
And right, women Jeremiah? Are pigs, Jeremiah.
I felt very unsafe. No, it was cool, man. It was cool to see. I didn't get to see his performance. I was on another show at the time, but it was pretty crazy to see the video while I was literally upstairs to see what was going on right below. I was like, I was right upstairs.
It was crazy. Well, here's what's funny. It's like I did Kill Tony, and the people that were online for Kill Tony missed Louie, right?
Yeah.
So it's specifically, and I said something, and Tony was right to fucking trash me for it, because if I could have easily sucked the energy out of that room, that Kill Tony show, and made everyone like, oh, we missed Louie. What's funny is that was one of the best Kill Tonys I was ever on in my entire life.
Yeah.
It was so funny. You came out dressed as Big J.
Yep.
and Joel Burke came dressed out as me.
Yeah.
It was so funny. You guys were hilarious. The crowd was on fire. That's a beautiful part about Skankfest. All of these moments just happen all the time throughout the entire weekend. Sort of you had to be there moments, okay? Obviously, Louis being the biggest one of them, but even the people that missed Louis at Skankfest weren't disappointed. People were having the absolute best time of their lives. It's a punk rock party nonstop the entire weekend. Some negativity did come out of it, but it's such a net positive that it's like I can't even be upset about any of the negativity. The venue stuff, we'll talk about that in a minute. I just have to take a moment to thank everyone involved. The fans that came out, if you guys came out to Skankfest, you understand what we're talking about. It is unlike any other comedy festival in the entire world. This is not an advertisement for next year. I just have to gush a little bit. I really have to, because you guys are the best fans in the world. The people, I mean, the comics, I mean, guys like Guys We Fuck, those girls came out. And they were, before this happened, they said no last year because they were just like, yeah, these fans are going to be shitty to us. Okay, we had that whole podcast war thing. Those girls came up to me at the end of the weekend and they were like, holy shit, you have literally the best fans in the entire world. The best fans in the world, okay? They're the least judgmental people in the world. They're as supportive as could be. The idea that the Legion of Skanks fan base hates women, that they are racist, that they're hateful, it is such a bullshit, fucking easy, nasty, like you call somebody a Nazi and it's this thing where everyone watching goes, oh, I don't want to side with a Nazi. Mm. So they sort of turn away and they keep quiet. And it's a tool that people use online, but it is, I'm just not going to accept it anymore. It's Skankfest, the beautiful thing about it, it's getting so big that people can't do that. Enough people are there. One girl said, I wouldn't even say who it was, but she was like, yeah, you know what? I don't really like the fact that Louis is here. I'm pretty much a big feminist. You know, I believe that he didn't do enough to apologize yet. She goes, but I'm not going to miss Skankfest. Are you fucking crazy?
Right.
I mean, what do you want me to say? It's like, we can all disagree about things. Come into a fucking building, have a party. And guess what? You didn't have to be in the room with Louis. Jeremiah wasn't. You didn't have to go down and watch his set. A lot of people couldn't go down and watch his set. So it's not an environment where you have to necessarily feel unsafe. But this is an environment. This is the world that we live in where, guess what? You have 1,500 people under our roof. I promise you, there are dangerous people that were there that have criminal records, staff members, people that were patrons of the environment, other comedians that we don't know their fucking histories, right? How are you
going Jimmy Martinez. Who... Did Jimmy and I took a picture together, and I'm really mad I don't have it because I wanted to post. Guys, for those of you that don't know, at Skankfest, we ended racism.
We legitimately did. It was a fucking beautiful thing, man. It really was, and I really loved everyone that came out and the comics that came out and everyone that supported it. I mean, guys like Michael Che coming up to me at the end being like, dude, you have the best fans. Just the best fans. Dude, Dave Attell, same thing.
It's pretty amazing because Tony mentioned this when he was performing on The Jam. We've done almost every festival in the country. Like through the Comedy Jam and Roast Battle and my stand-up and like just the different stuff I've been fortunate to be a part of, we've done all of the major festivals in the country, and there's no response like there is at Skankfest. You like right away, your fans, like the way they come out and support, you literally see it even in your social media right away, people following you right after shows. I had a bunch of people that are like, oh, I've never heard of you before. Like, and then they start That's following it. You right away.
And then they're fans for life.
Yeah.
They're fans for life. And it's for a weekend, you get to feel like a rock star. We also don't separate everybody. There is a green room, but it's so small. And it's like, you want to go and hang out with the fans. You want to drink with the fans.
I mean, I was playing pool with different people. It was cool.
Dude, it's such a cool thing. And it's such a positive thing. And for people to put any sort of negativity on it, it is just so, I don't know, man. It's disappointing. It's disappointing when comics do it. It's like, you know, there's a lot of comics online that, you know, look, I get it. You know, if you don't like the fact that Louis is making a comeback, that's fine. You can have that opinion. But to try to throw an entire festival, to try to throw an entire group of people, all the patrons, all the comics that are performing, they're like, if you performed there, you're supporting rape. You're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
what type
extreme.
Of psychotic fucking extreme views do you have? You're losing all of the people that could be on your side because you have allies. Most people, everyone, in fact, at Skankfest... Most people at Skankfest think rape is wrong, okay? Most people do.
Two out of the three organizers of Skankfest.
Three out of four dentists.
But, you know, you have a lot of allies that you push away with these extreme views and these extreme thoughts, and it just starts to be become ridiculous.
I found myself getting upset reading, like, some of the blogger, like, the, you know, awful women bloggers' opinion things. But then all I would do was read their bio on whatever website the blog was on and feel better. Because, like, I cannot take your journalistic opinion seriously if on your work bio it tells me what character from Parks and Rec you are.
That's hilarious. Dude, look, here's what happened, Louis. Let me tell the story specifically, because some people did get things wrong. TMZ got the story wrong. I wasn't working on it, Louis.
By the way, TMZ is 0 for 2 with us so far.
Yeah, they don't know. I don't know where they're getting their information, but I wasn't working on Louis C.K. for months. We had no ability to book Louis C.K. at this festival. This was beautiful.
That's
about
what TMZ said?
Yeah, TMZ said festival organizer Louis Gomez was working on Louis C.K. for months. And
I just imagine you outside his house. Like,
yeah,
Louis?
What is there to do? There's no working on him for months. Now, here's probably the game of telephone that happened. Months before Skankfest, all of us were like, wouldn't it be cool if Louis showed up? Wouldn't it be awesome if we created an event that Louis C.K., because he's been coming back now, at this point he's come back a couple times, if he got wind of it, and he said, I want to go there and maybe perform a comedy set. Now, we put that energy in the air, right? So there's something about that. I'm an old school salesman. I believe in shit like that. I believe when you sort of put that out there, and that's not that crazy. We have enough friends with Louis C.K. that he's going to hear about the event. And Joe List is very close with him. Bobby Kelly's very close with him. I'm assuming, I know Joe talked to him specifically about the event. And I know a couple other people did. I know Joe List was walking through Manhattan with him a few days before Skankfest, and a couple fans ran into them, like Skanks fans in t-shirts, and they were like, oh, are you coming to Skankfest? And Louis was just kind of like, oh, wow, that's crazy that, you know, they were so excited to see him. I think he walks through New York City kind of like with his head down, like, fuck, you know, who do I have to deal with? And what, you know, the type of, you know, person who's just take a picture of me or maybe say something shitty. People, I know somebody complained at his gym that he was going to the gym there and she was like, I'm going to cancel my membership. It's fucking crazy. Okay. It's crazy. Let's fucking get real. What he did something that is mildly pervy. I know fucking comics, bitch. I started comedy 15 years ago. That's mildly pervy. Okay. Come on. Jerking off. That's what he gets off, jerking off in front of chicks. Okay. That's it. That's his big fucking thing. Shut up. Shut up, you fucking losers. All those guys online that are trashing Louis, I guarantee you they are fucking rapists. They're rapists. They're hiding something. All of them are hiding something. I'm telling you right now, they're fucking creeps. Anybody who comes out that hard, anybody who's freaking out that much, they're specifically trying to push down their own fucking demons. I'm telling you right now, if you look into these guys, I guarantee you more often than not, they are fucking creeps, okay? And I have a lot of chicks that agree with me on shit like that, okay? So we put this energy out there, and here's what I found out afterwards. I gotta brag a little bit here. This is pretty cool. I found out that Louis watched my special. See, we're fucking comics. We're psychos. We're all the same fucking animal. Not even just comics. We're all the same animal. Everyone does. Everyone Googles themselves. Everyone's on Reddit searching for their own shit. Okay. So Louis happened upon my joke about him through YouTube or whatever. And I'm assuming he watched it with kind of like, oh, fuck, this guy's going to start trashing
me. What's going on here?
Yeah. And I didn't. And then he bought my special. And, he liked it. I know he liked it because specifically he told me he did, which was one of the coolest moments in my fucking career. Having a comedy legend like Louis C.K. come out to me at my festival that I'm like, you know, I'm like a fucking pig in shit, dude. Like, it's like nuts watching this guy walk through the doors, watching how excited everybody got, watching how happy everybody was. The pure fucking energy and love that was in the fucking air. Like, let's get real. It was
Make
nuts.
No mistake. It was like a Woodstock from the 60s level.
Yeah.
Of love and drugs.
Yes.
And drugs. Woodstock 99's music. But Woodstock 60's love and drugs.
And the sexual assaults of Woodstock 99.
Yes.
Of course, as well. But it was like this really amazing moment where, I mean, I have this guy who is highly regarded as debatably the best comic of all time, at the very least in the top five of most people's lists. Telling me that he watched my comedy special and that he really liked it and he thought it was funny. He didn't have to. There's no reason to. You know, it was fucking amazing, okay?
That's super gratifying. That's everything, like, that's all self-produced stuff.
It means, you know, so much more to me. You know, when Dave Attell comes up to me and tells me that a joke is great, it just means way more to me than anything else. And when you look up to these guys, it's like, you know, you're doing the right thing. Obviously, you know, we create specials and we, you know, we tell jokes and we, you know, the fans that love us will love us. Like, you can go and put out a comedy special right now. If you have a lot of fans, you can put out a comedy special that just isn't that good. And because your fans love you and want to laugh at it, they'll laugh at it. They'll buy it and they'll laugh at it. And it's not even fake. They'll enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? They want you to dig it. But when a guy like Dave Attell or Louis C.K. tells you that they appreciate your comedy, it's like, it's, you know, it's a big fucking deal. It really meant a lot. So I'm on fucking cloud nine, you know, and this is before I even introduce Louis. This is before Louis even decides that he's going up. You guys got to understand this as well. So the energy and the whatever it was brought Louis there. People were like, oh, you should go and check this out. This is a really cool environment. This is like a really loving, fun environment, accepting environment. You'll have a lot of fun. And he goes and takes a chance and shows up. Who said it to me this morning? Somebody had a fucking great analogy where it was like, oh, Dan Soder. It was like he came to the barbecue and he was like, I'm not going to eat anything. And then he smelled the fucking meat in the air and smelled the barbecue in the air. And then he was like, oh, dude, I'm getting kind of hungry, because he came there and the energy and the love from the audience and the whatever it was in the air. He was like, dude, I want to fucking go up. And I don't know how many times he's gone up since his comeback, but it's not many. It's a handful of fucking times that he decided to go up. It's such a bigger treat than people fucking understand. There was no guarantees here. There was no booking Louis C.K. We don't have money to book Louis C.K. like that, okay? We pay every fucking performer at Skankfest. Everybody that performs at Skankfest gets paid, whether it's the guys that are on the smaller stages, guys that are just helping out, whatever it is. We make sure that everyone makes at least a little bit of money, and it's the reason why guys like Tony are essentially donating their fucking time, because we can't afford to pay Tony his rate. Much less Louis C.K., right? So it's very much this festival. It's about love. We don't charge submission fees for young comics to submit. we put together these incredible artist gift bags. We try to make this artist experience like incredible, where you guys will essentially go out and talk about it in the future. And everything sort of came together where there was this energy in the air where Louis C.K. said, you know what? I'm going to go and fucking go on stage. Play the reaction that he got when he came out on stage. This is the video that
made this is a cool event. Right? You never know what can happen. Crazy things happen. Here's one of those crazy things. Ladies and gentlemen, Louis C.K.
Look at this. I mean, it gives me chills right now watching it. People start chanting his name. I mean, people are losing their minds.
Thank you. All right, thank you very much.
Wow. I don't think that was my video.
Every article is, people clap for man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is what everyone's mad about. People clap for man.
It's funny, all the mainstream articles, like Newsweek and TMZ, they're not actually, there's no negative slant in these articles. If you read them, they're just saying Louis C.K. Shows up at Brooklyn Comedy Festival to huge applause. There's not negativity there. All it is, I mean, people are going like, oh, dude, all the crazy negative. It's like, it's not really negative press. I mean, they mentioned that he is following sexual misconduct allegations. CK wasn't able to perform at the festival.
It's kind of like it's getting to a point where they are like, you guys can start deciding if you're going to start welcoming him back now. Do you know what I mean? That way it's not negative necessarily in any of those articles. It's just more like, here's the information. You consume it.
It's
however,
almost like we should
you
let
process
the market
it.
Decide.
Right.
Yeah. And you see everybody, dude. First of all, people saying that it was standing room only and that it wasn't a standing ovation. That's not true. There was about 20 rows of seats. There was about 20 rows back, 20 rows wide, however many seats that is. I can't do math. And so, those people were sitting down. Yes, that is standing room around and behind that. But yes, he got a standing ovation. Everyone got up out of their seats. People were jumping up and down like the fucking Beatles showed up.
You see that girl just bouncing?
Just
like
losing her mind.
Like, the Beat Its.
The Beat Its.
That's great.
I mean, don't want to hold your hand.
Yeah.
But I want to hold
my
man. Dick.
Hey, just let it be, all right?
I mean, we're talking about like... to watch a crowd that happy, I mean, you have to understand, it's like, cool, if you're not happy, don't go. Don't support this festival. This festival is branded as edgy comedy, 3 days of comedy mayhem. You know what the Legion of Skanks are about. We're not tricking anybody, okay? And if anybody was at Skankfest that was upset that Louis was there, we would have given them a refund. All right, goodbye. See you later. Nobody wanted to leave day two of Skankfest. Are you fucking crazy? Yeah. They want to see what was going to happen day three. Are you nuts? Nobody wants that. This outrage mob of people where it's like, guys, fine, don't go then. Don't show up. So this is the sad part. The only thing negative that came out of this, because the outrage, and I'll say this, I don't care. I'll show you how the fucking sausage is made. Okay, I said this to you out there before, Jeremiah. I'm a salesman. First and foremost, I'm a salesman, okay? I'm barely funny. I can barely speak, okay? I'm not good at this stuff. But I can fucking sell, okay? And one of the things, if you know anything about sales, anybody that's done a sales job before, you're looking for emotional triggers, okay? You're looking to get people emotional when there's a term in sales, and it's called when they cry, they buy, okay? It's some nasty, evil shit, okay? And, you know, we try to create these emotional moments. Skankfest is an emotional experience. People cry when they leave. They're like, fuck, dude, I can't wait.
They don't want it to end.
They don't want it to end. It's very emotional as it is. So they have this emotional connection with this weekend. They save up all year. 80% of our audience was from out of town this year. 80%. It's crazy. It's a much bigger thing than we even thought. We started analyzing this shit now. It's crazy the amount of people that are coming from out of town and making this their destination and their vacation for the year, okay? So outrage mob gets all fucking emotional and wacky, which is fine. And our audience in response gets emotional and wacky. And guess what? Once they're emotional, they're ready to fucking buy. People are begging us to do pre-sale tickets right now. We are going to be in a larger venue next year. We will sell twice as many tickets next year. We're going to two locations next year. Houston is already booked. You know, it's a shame because the Brooklyn Bazaar, this is what I'm upset about. I'm not upset. It's just, it sucks, okay? But you have to shine some light on these things sometimes. The Brooklyn Bazaar, which has hosted the venue for the past 2 years, has been an incredible venue.
It's a cool space.
It's a fucking really cool space. And it is, you know, we had a great relationship with them. The guys over there, the management over there, the staff, the fucking bouncers and security. We have this, like, we came back and we were all friends again from last year. Like, everyone had this fucking synergy. And
I did banana shit last year.
Yeah.
And bouncers, bartenders, all were like excited to see me again.
It was awesome, dude. It felt so like the staff. Like,
oh, yep, just strap in. We're doing this crazy shit again. They were so nice.
Just pull up the statement from the Brooklyn Bazaar. Okay, so after the event happens the next day, some press outlets pick up the fact that Louis C.K. was there. They released a statement on Facebook regarding Louis C.K.'s appearance at Brooklyn Bazaar the other night. We would like to state that this was a surprise appearance and that the venue had no prior knowledge that his performance would occur. By the time he was brought up through the side entrance by promoters and put on stage, it was too late for our staff to stop it. First lie. Louis was there for hours before he went on stage.
Yeah, he was literally hanging out in the back green room.
He also came right in through the front door. I checked him in like any other artist.
We came in through the front door, checked him in like any other artist. The staff, I'm talking about elated, squealed like little fucking girls. The bouncers, the bartenders, everybody. And there was not a single person in that place that expressed any concern about Louis C.K. being there. And I will tell you this. There are comics that are like, oh, it's a workplace safety issue. Do you think Louis C.K. is pulling his dick out now? Do you think he's going to go and start jerking off in front of women and in front of a big fucking crowd of people?
No, Ari did that.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, Ari is a workplace safety issue. Bob Kelly's a workplace safety issue. I'm a workplace safety. There's a lot of people that are workplace safety issues. This guy's, it is such an irresponsible bullshit. It's not a real argument. It's not real when you go like, oh, well, I don't feel safe around Louis. That's not real. The problem is you don't get to, it's another trick. It's like calling people a Nazi. If I argue against that, I'm now arguing against women feeling unsafe. So it's a trick that they use, but it's not actually a real, legitimate, tangible argument. If you believe, if you feel unsafe around Louis C.K. being in a public space with you, you are batshit fucking crazy deranged. Get to a fucking therapist, you crazy fucking psycho bitch. You need help. There are fucking bad people in the world that will hurt you. way worse than Louis C.K. There are criminals walking down the street. You're not more paranoid about being on a New York City subway. You're not more paranoid about walking through a dark fucking neighborhood. You're not more paranoid about walking through fucking Harlem during the day.
Or if I could take this in another direction for a second.
Not racist? Fine,
not racist. I promise. Every comic that's like, I would never perform on a bill with Louis. I would never do a festival with Louis. Every single one of them, if they got offered a part in Hangover 4 with Mike Tyson, would take that.
In a heartbeat. Oh, these fucking phony bitches.
Or to perform with Mark Wahlberg or countless other people who have committed real fucking crimes.
Yeah, what's his name? Fucking who beat up Rihanna.
If you, Chris Brown, yes, Brown.
Cocksuckers, why don't you stop writing on the MTV Movie Awards or Music Awards, you pieces of shit? Right? Or what about all you pieces of shit? The rumor about Louis was that he held the door closed and wouldn't let girls go. And then the article came out and we found that it wasn't even close to that. He was just creepily asking them to fucking jerk off in front of him. Not even that creepy. I'll stand by it. Barely creepy. Okay? So
it's a 2 out of 10.
It is a fucking 2 out of 10. Thank you, Zach. Easily.
Thank you.
What are we doing here? It's crazy. Then we find out it wasn't even that bad. All of those bitches, I mean, it says all those bitches come out now that wrote on a show or opened up for him on these gigs at Madison Square Garden. There's a lot of fucking girls out there that are phonies. They're just fucking phonies. They took the gigs and they took the paycheck when they thought what he did was worse. It's bullshit. It's all phony bullshit. So the venue, I'm sorry, keep on going with what they wrote. Hold on.
I would love by the end of this podcast, because you're being so, you know, pro Louis C.K. at the end, you're like, I am Louis C.K. Scooby-Doo style.
Everyone watch me. That's crazy. Let's see. Management felt stopping it may put our staff in danger because of the large crowd. Now, look, I will be honest with you. If he went to go on and they pulled his mic, it might have been a problem.
Let the bodies at the bodies at the body.
People start to start slitting their own throats and stabbing people.
Yes, but let's get real. If Billy Joel was about to go on stage at the fucking supper club and you cut his mic.
What the hell, man? What are you doing? That's Billy Joel. How dare you?
Let him play.
Let the man going to put a tip in his jar. Yeah.
Dougie, you'd have a problem if Slipknot was about to play and you're like, we're not going to let Slipknot play. Sorry, crazy heavy metal crowd that loves Slipknot. I think that you'd probably have an issue. So I guess there's some abstract version of that version of the story where it's true. But if they would have come up to us, and said, we don't want you to put Louis on, we wouldn't have publicized that. We would have had a big fucking argument behind closed doors. But here's the reality. I don't want to put my audience in danger, okay? Because, yeah, if we would have said, hey, the venue's not going to let Louis go on.
They would have been a riot.
I think there would have been a fucking riot. That would have been crazy. That's very irresponsible.
But you never would have done that.
That's irresponsible on my end. I wouldn't do that, okay? So if they were to come to me and say, hey, we don't think it's a good idea to put him on, I would have said, we have a rental fee, we have a contract. It states in our contract that we can put anyone on that we want, and they would have had to adhere to the terms of the contract. But I mean, I guess, you know, they could have broken the contract and dealt with the legal repercussions of that. But they didn't want to do that because they wanted to watch Louis C.K. They were excited about it. Now, here's the unknown factor of all of it, which I tweeted out. Brooklyn Bazaar is for sale. They've been for sale for about a year and a half now. Okay, they were on the market for $10 million. They dropped the price by a couple million dollars because nobody's buying. They are not. They don't give a fuck about artists. They're not giving a fuck about artist safety. This has nothing to do with any of that. They're avoiding bad press because they want to sell the fucking venue. They don't want to deal with any horseshit because they're trying to sell the fucking venue. So any artists that are out there, any people that are performing at the Brooklyn Bazaar that thinks that this venue has the best interest in your mind, they will fucking sell this venue and cancel your show in a fucking heartbeat, okay? We thought we had another year at Brooklyn Bazaar. We talked to them. We figured by the time they could actually sell a big deal like that, it would be another year at least. But the truth is, we've probably outgrown the venue as it was. People were saying that to us last year, that it wasn't big enough of a venue. And we have meetings right now with multiple venues. We have a meeting right after the show. I'm picking up my son and I'm bringing him to another fucking venue in Queens that reached out to us. That is incredible. That's twice the size. Really fucking cool. So time will tell what we're going to do at Skankfest New York City and what venue we're going to end up at. But I'm telling you right now, there's no questions asked. We're going to go bigger and better than ever before. It's very disappointing that the Brooklyn Bazaar took that position. Very disappointing. They made nearly $100,000 in bar sales over the weekend. They're the only people who lined their pockets.
And
with
I'm your guest bartender, zibbity zib bop bop zip.
But it's like they're the only ones who made money, right? And the only ones who fucking profited off this event, right? But then they're going to come out and put out a statement like that. It's bullshit. You know, that but if you look at the comments also from their patrons on that thing, they have 500 some comments.
It's never good when there's more comments than likes.
90% of the people are being like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
You're always like, what happened here?
90% of the people are like, what the fuck is wrong with you? It was a great time had by all. I wish I was there. Most people are like, what are you apologizing for, Louis C.K.? Dave Temple said it best. He was like, the venue was apologizing to people who weren't there about people that were there having a great time. It's crazy. Let's see, right there. Keep on going to the comments. Go back up. Let's see. Good luck hosting another event that will bring you this much revenue and sell tickets for over $200 a pop. The weekend was flawless. Not a single incident. You guys are spineless. Do you background check every performer in your venue? Ha ha. Brooklyn Bazaar. This is so slimy and backhanded. We all know this is a total lie. I'm glad you dug your own grave. Skankfest will move on to a nicer, bigger venue. Brendan Bolton. This is the original post. Notice how they took out the part where they called Skankfest audience rowdy. Oh, they took out. Oh, okay. They took out that part.
Could you click that? That we can
click
it?
That. What is that?
Because of the large and rowdy. Management felt stopping it may put our staff in danger because of the large and rowdy.
Go back
crowd.
Up. Go back. And what does it say?
Which, despite everybody who attends, go to the original, if go to they the thing that we look read. A certain way or whatever, everybody is so nice at the festival, regardless of how, you know.
Because of the large crowd, yeah. Okay, see, they had big, whatever. Because they had to fucking even retract that because they knew they were lying about our fucking audience. Because even though our audience is the best fucking audience ever, no incidents, no fights. One guy was trying to get into a fight. I pulled him off the line. I walked him down the street. I gave him a hug. I was like, chill the fuck out, dude. Go home. And he was like, yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm sorry. I mean, these people are fucking comedy fans. All right, gents, let's take a moment and talk about BetterHelp, which I really do love. BetterHelp is such a great business. I've been using them for anger management. Makes it really convenient to do therapy online. So you're doing it over video chat. If you guys don't have a lot of time in the world, if you live in a big city like I live in, where you have to, you know, getting through traffic, that's one of the biggest triggers for me to be angry is waiting in traffic. So it's pretty ironic that I have to go do that in order to see a therapist.
Not only that, I mean, an hour a week of therapy becomes 3 hours a week.
Exactly.
It's an hour to get there, an hour back.
And time is money, baby boys. BetterHelp offers licensed professional counselors who specialize in issues like depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, anger, family conflict, self-esteem, and many, many more things. And it helps you connect with your professional counselor in a safe and private online environment. It's great. I really do enjoy it. I really have been enjoying it for anger management. If you've got real fucking problems, this isn't what I'm going to suggest for you. If you're suicidal, if you have really fucked up crazy issues, I think you should maybe look into seeing a counselor in person and really being extremely selective about the counselor that you're seeing. If this is something that you've thought about before, maybe you've done therapy in the past and it hasn't been super great. I like it because you can switch your counselor every week and find the right counselor for you. Finding a counselor in real life, it's a pain in the ass. Going and meeting them, you end up kind of sticking with people just because it's convenient. BetterHelp makes it convenient to sort of find the right counselor, see the one that works for you, get feedback, give them feedback. They do major background checks on the counselors, make sure that they have all of their licenses. Right now, if you go to betterhelp.com/realass, you get 10% off your first month if you sign up today. Betterhelp.com/realass, get 10% off. Simply fill out the questionnaire and help them assess your needs, and you get matched with a great professional counselor. Once again, that is betterhelp.com/realass. Check it out and enjoy the rest of the show. Go back to the comments from the fans. Fuck off, Skankfest. Legendary. Y'all made great money from the great tipping, super nice and respectful attendees. Stop pandering. If you book great events, people will come. Don't let some pussy butthurt people who weren't there dictate your shit. I felt violated by Brooklyn Bazaar this weekend. Charged $32 for a can of Bud and a gin and tonic. I guarantee your bartenders made way more than double this weekend any of your other lousy events I've ever had. Blah, blah, blah. Cool. Happy to not go to this venue again. I'm unfamiliar with your establishment, but it appears from this post you're a performing arts venue to a blah, blah, blah. All right. So, I mean, literally there's nothing. Nobody is supporting them. Nobody on their Facebook is supporting them. Nobody is commenting on this that supports them. If you go down and read the comments, hundreds and hundreds of comments, you know, it's like that term get woke, go broke. I love it. It really is true. No venue should have a political fucking stance or political opinion. Their statement should have been, it was a privately produced event. We had no, we don't dictate who goes on our privately produced events. Simple as that. Or say nothing. People are, they're bored. Do you think that they're going to picket your fucking venue? So dumb people.
I don't think that anybody would have said anything to them.
Nobody cared. The original article that came out on the MarySue.com
said that it was at the creek.
Said it was at the creek. It's fucking, this is, it's the laziest journalism possible, the laziest people possible.
It's all clickbait.
Yeah. So the venue, for absolutely no reason, they lose us next year. There's no chance we will fucking work with them again. I gave up my relationship with the Creaking Cave. Rebecca is my friend and my business partner for a very similar thing. So people that I don't know and have no personal relationship with, do you think I'm going to go and work with them again? It's fucking crazy. It's crazy. We have venues telling us that they're not going to charge us a fee. We paid that. We paid these assholes a $10,000 fucking fee. Okay, so we'll have a bigger venue, sell more tickets, and not have a fucking fee next year. I mean, what do you want me to say here? This is, you know, it's a weird...
Next year, Louis comes out and they just drop $10,000. The best festival ever.
Hey, why is the money so sticky?
Yeah, man,
you can't pick it back up off the floor. Yeah.
It's just, I want people to realize, even the comics that are coming out against it, like this festival, we do this festival so everyone can have the freedom to tell jokes that they want to tell. And somebody's going to attack the content that you create one day, and you're going to want to be able to perform it, and you're going to want to be able to have a space like Skankfest so you can try things and experiment and create things. And that's where the absolute best comedy comes from. You have to take chances. You know, I every year Skankfest comes around, I'm glad we're doing it twice a year, because I get depressed sometimes and I go, am I doing the right fucking thing? Am I really going out and what am I doing with my life? I look, you know, and then I do something like Skankfest and I hang out with you guys and I hang out with Tony and Ari. And, you know, I mean, the amount of people that come up to me after the festival and go, dude, you are onto something so incredible and so unique and so special. I know we're on the right track here. And I know I'm not going to ever have real TV shit. I know I've given that up, but I'm not a martyr. I'm not giving that up for like, oh, I'm punk rock, fuck TV. They weren't giving it to me. You know what I'm saying? I happen to be smart enough and talented enough to create my own shit, but they weren't giving me those opportunities. You know what I'm saying? So let me go create the things that I want to create. And then other comics, if they want to follow suit, they'll follow suit. That's the beautiful thing, is we can just create things that people want to consume. There's not an ounce of fucking hate in the heart of any person that I work with. I'm a collaborator. I work with so many people that are from so many different backgrounds. Nobody is really racist. Nobody's really hateful. Nobody really hates women. Nobody really hates trans or gay people. Okay. We like to say fucked up things and we like to make jokes. And you know what? A lot of women and marginalized people and gay people and trans people, they appreciate the jokes because everyone else is tiptoeing around them and everyone else is treating them like they're fucking handicapped. That's the way you guys treat people. Okay. That fucking kid, Rashad, who calls into the show all the time, that fucking black gay kid who won the dildo and the dick sucking competition. I mean, that kid was a fucking rock star this weekend. Was a rock star. You know, you guys would treat him like he's a fucking circus animal. Like he should be treated special. Like, oh my God, ooh, he's gay. He's black. We have to, you know, we can't say certain things around him. No, dude, he's a fucking human being. You know, it's so divisive the way that people are now. It really is. It's just such a fucked up thing. I watch it happen. And you call my friends and the people that I work with, you call them bad people for wanting to tell jokes that bring people together. It's psychotic. It's psychotic behavior. I can't handle it. And I just won't do it anymore. I won't play the fucking game anymore. I don't even put in avails for comedy clubs really anymore. There's a few people that I'll work with. You know, there's a few clubs that I work with that hit me up and go, dude, I really want you here. Let's fucking do this. But I'm not going to go and play that fucking game. I can't do it anymore. I would rather create shit the way that I create shit, book my own shit, you know, and create my own fucking set of rules. I tweeted that earlier on today. When I started comedy 15 years ago, 14 years ago. We did this shit because it was a punk rock business. There was no rules. There was no bosses. Jeremiah, how long have you been doing stand-up? A while, a little while.
Yeah, January will be 10 years.
10 years. Yeah. Even when you started comedy, right? When you showed up at an open mic, it was every type of person you could imagine.
Sure.
old, young, black, white, homeless people, people that were lawyers that were coming from their fucking highly successful lawyer jobs. Like, why are you here? For the same reason that the fucking mentally handicapped guy that was just got out of a mentally hospital was there. There's this thing that comics have. We do it for this crazy, fucked up, narcissistic reason. It's not social justice. Nobody got on stage to change the world for the fucking better. Okay, we all got on there originally because we were fucking misfits. We all had something fucked up in our lives and we had some need for attention, and it made us feel good when we had 20 people in a room give us that confirmation that we were funny and we could do something positive. And guess what? The byproduct of all of it is at the end of it, 15 years later, I can create something like Skankfest and go, holy shit, I'm touching the lives of people in a very, very positive way. But let's fucking get real. We all got into this because we're fucking weirdos and we want that affirmation that we're doing something, you know? And comics today, I don't understand where they're coming from. We're all the same fucking psycho. You know, we go down different paths, but we all started from that same fucking place. And these people, they're pretending they're doing it for some other fucking reason. They're phonies and they're never funny. They're never funny. Nobody funny has come out against this festival. Nobody that was there came out against this festival. You were there. I want to see one person that said anything fucking negative that was there. That was like, oh shit, dude, that was fucking bad. Even I had another girl who was there, who's a friend of mine, who's a female feminist comic. She was like, yeah, I'm not going to go watch Louis. Simple as that. I just won't go watch him. I'm not going to support him by laughing at his jokes. I know he's funny. I know I'll probably laugh. So she got a massage during a set because we had massage girls in the green room. So more power to her. Good for her. But she has that right. You know, the work safety. Are you fucking crazy? Let me tell you something about the fans of the Legion of Skanks. Okay. If you were to touch a woman at Skankfest in a way that she didn't want to, you would be beaten to a bloody pulp. If you hurt a woman at Skankfest, the fans would drag you out by your fucking feet and beat you in the fucking street. There is no safer place for women than Skankfest. There is not a safer fucking place. I'm telling you right now, it's somebody compared it to like the heavy metal or hardcore scene. It's like if you fucking, dude, when those girls are crowd surfing and dude, we have comedy shows where people are crowd surfing. Podcasts, not even just rock shows. Podcasts where people are crowd surfing. Bobby Kelly crowd surfed during YKWD. Okay? Kim Congdon crowd surfed.
Well, it was over one kid while he pointed up.
Look at this fucking picture. Rosa Miller. Shout out to Rosa Miller. Great photo right there. You know, I'm talking like, dude, it's so rock and roll and so fucking different. It's like, and it's not like, you know, when they say Dane Cook made like comedy rock and roll, that's like big fucking Madison Square Garden. This arenas, is punk yeah. rock, fucking hardcore, like dirty, down and grimy rock and roll. And girls were out there crowd surfing. Kim crowd surfed. Trying to remember what other chicks crowd surfed. Allison Klemp did. Dude, I'm telling you right now, both of them, they were like, nobody touched us. And they could feel like hands getting away from their butt, away from their boobs. The fans were so respectful, like, of the women there. If you were a performer, you were treated like royalty. If you were a woman at Skankfest, people were holding doors open for you. They were offering to buy you drinks. It couldn't be any more of this sort of, like, chivalrous environment where people are, like, fucking. And also, because people are judgmental of our crowd, I think that everyone's more conscious of it. Mm-hmm. I think everyone goes, no, I don't want to be that for the weekend. I don't want to be this fucking shithead where we're doing and saying stupid stuff. Those guys, we fuck girls. Even me, I was kind of going, like, ah, fuck, they might get heckled a little bit. A couple guys might get drunk and just be like, podcast wars. But not even that, dude. These girls just went up and fucking did great sets. There were guests on podcasts. I mean, it was such a fucking incredible thing.
Yeah, I let a woman body slam me on Kill Tony. That was pretty cool. She was training to be a professional wrestler.
Oh, really?
She legit picked me up. She was so strong, and she took me right down to the floor. And I woke up the next day being like, yeah, she got me.
I'm in so much pain. That's going to come out on Capitol Wrestling. We'll obviously have the fight between me and Mike Harrington. I want to give them the credit they deserve as well. Capitol Wrestling came out, and we did our first wrestling show ever at Skankfest, and it couldn't have fit in more.
Fucking awesome.
Dude, it was fucking
so fun, dude.
It was so much fun.
It was out of control.
Obviously, if people have been watching the social media, you know what happened with me and Mike Harrington. No spoilers for that, but you know that Chuck Payne, who is banned from Capitol Wrestling events right now, he ended up showing up at Skankfest, getting past security, which, by the way, Brooklyn Bazaar security, if you're talking about keeping people safe, Chuck Payne, there was two people at Skankfest that weren't allowed on Skankfest, Chuck Payne being one of
Chuck
them.
Chuck Payne and Anthony Gangone.
And Anthony Gangone.
Snuck in a goddamn luchador mask.
Both of them. both of them end up in Skankfest. We literally banned two people from the building. And these guys get in. I get physically attacked by Chuck Payne. I mean, it's fucking crazy. The fact that this happened, and then I should take out some sort of lawsuit against the building because they allowed me to get hurt. You can show a little bit of the aftermath on my Instagram. You can show. I was beating him up until this point, to be honest with you. I don't want to spoil
it. Yeah,
everything.
I thought you had him.
I did have him, dude. I do MMA. It's a little different than fucking pro wrestling, all right? So he caught me there. There's a moment.
Yeah, he got you there.
He caught me in that moment.
It's so dope.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Yeah. All the wrestlers afterwards told me that it was one of the best crowds they've ever performed in front of.
It was awesome, dude. And I mean, it's what we're doing with this now. The way it's growing, it's becoming so. I don't know, dude. It's becoming its own fucking thing. You know, and I think after looking at the analytics, after looking at where people came from, I know we can do it. We announced Skankfest Houston as well, March 28th, 29th, with the Secret Group, who are great partners.
I love those guys.
Those guys are incredible. Yeah, the great venue, we're going to have an outdoor stage.
Oh, man.
It's going to be fucking, dude, let me tell you something. It's dope. And they get it, too. They were there at Skankfest. They know everything the fuck that went on. Yeah. The reality is we need partners that get it. We need people that understand.
That's a perfect place to do it for
it's
Houston,
the perfect
too. It's great place. They've got multiple rooms. It's awesome.
The reality is we need the right venue. It can't be every other comedy festival. It's spread out with five different venues, four different venues. This has to be a party.
Our fans will never make it. They'll never make it to a third location.
No.
Oh,
you need people.
It's got to be all like quick walking distance.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hopefully downhill.
It has to have that party vibe.
These wheelbarrows
so
of people.
If you guys know of a venue in the New York City area, you know, that sort of has that vibe, let me know. There's a lot of different options right now. I'm not concerned about the venue. The venue that we're seeing today, I'm hoping that just works out because it's awesome and they know what the fuck's up. They reach out to us. And I saw the picture of it. It's fucking perfect. It's perfect. So we'll see what happens. We will be announcing that soon. And a lot of cool things are going to be happening with the Skankfest brand. We have Skankfest Houston coming up, obviously Skankfest in New York City. And there are talks of a Skankfest cruise. If it's not just a Skankfest cruise, maybe related. We want to get a lot of the podcasters involved and nice. Do something as well. So this is all happening, man. I'm very, very excited about what's happening with comedy right now. There seems to be Clusterfest happening this weekend as well. I don't want to gloat. I hate to be that guy, but when you see articles talking about what a shit show Clusterfest was, I don't wish anything bad on anybody.
Did you see what Bonnie said about Kevin?
Oh, yeah, that Kevin made me laugh. Kevin Brennan is Skankfest.
Neil Brennan is Clusterfest.
It's fucking awesome. But I don't wish anything bad.
Can I say, so yeah. I might be the only comic that performed at both Clusterfest.
Tim Dillon, I believe. And no, Tim, wait. Maybe it wasn't Tim Dillon. It was Shane Gillis.
Me and maybe one or two other comics.
Yeah.
I will say easily that Skankfest was a much more fun festival.
Shout out to Karen Feehan. They offered her to do something over at Clusterfest, and she turned it down for Skankfest. I believe one of the only people who turned down Clusterfest for Skankfest. So that girl's a little fucking
rock
star.
This is how cool your... co-producers are for Skankfest. I originally, with Rebecca and Christine, I originally said that I couldn't do Clusterfest because it conflicted and I was booked through you guys for a long time. And they are so cool. That's that awesome. They're like, please.
Same thing happened with Shane. Yeah.
The first night.
You have
and
to.
They said, we'll work with you. Do Saturday and Sunday.
We want you to take every opportunity possible. Right. Clusterfest is a great opportunity,
yeah.
But it is a corporately run festival. It is a very different thing.
This is okay? a different thing, yeah.
We are
literally apples and oranges.
This is if anybody went to a fucking hardcore show at their local fire hall in high school, you know, you remember those like hardcore shows that'd be at like the fucking Jersey at like the firehouse,
like VFW.
Yeah, dude, that's what this is. Okay. It's stripped down. It feels very punk rock.
Ironically, comedy show to VFW is just Gino.
But it's, you know, we're doing something very, very different and it feels DIY. It feels like it's by the comics. And then we have these huge, major comedians. Bill Burr came by on Sunday night and did the comedy jam. Would have done some fucking comedy if you idiots didn't start pulling out your cell phones.
Oh, I know.
Dude, you gotta... Look, I got to say, for Louis, they were so respectful. There was a couple people that were trying to pull out their cell phones. We had security. Like, we didn't have any bags that we had to take away people's cell phones. We didn't have a crazy announcement. Justin probably could have made a better announcement, to be honest with you, about how, hey, guys, don't pull out your fucking cell phones. It's a really big deal. Because he's trying to work on a comeback hour. I'm assuming that's what's happening, right? But the fans are so respectful. They get it. You're stealing the content, guys. If you tape somebody's set and you put it up online or even have it at home and listen to it later, they didn't give you permission to take it yet, okay? And this is something that we work really, really fucking hard for, so don't do it. You know, you guys fucked up. Anybody who was there that pulled out their cell phones when Bill Burr said, put your cell phones away, and then you still did it after he asked you to, he was going to go and do some fucking stand-up, but you fucked it up, okay? And you guys, you have to realize that. Be responsible, okay? Especially our fans. Our fans are fucking respectful. Respect that fact. And I understand everyone's drunk. It's the last night of Skankfest. It's crazy. But just next time something like that happens, put those fucking phones away. I think I'm going to... there's going to be a pretty strict no cell phone rule with certain shows next year where it's like you'll be asked to leave the room if you even have your cell phone out. It's got to be a little bit... We have to vocalize it a little bit more.
Yeah.
And definitely on any shows with big, you know, huge celebrity guests drop. And Jeff Ross came by at the end of the night. Roy Wood Jr. came by and did a set on it as well.
Dude, the Ari Roy Wood Jr. thing was so epic.
Roy Wood Jr. does a song and Ari comes out to do it with him, and Ari's just naked, just jumping.
Yeah, Roy Wood is like trying to like break bread with Ari and be like, hey man, you should come out and like, you should like sing with me and stuff. And then Ari comes out like while taking care of business is like ramping up, and Ari's just completely naked. Just
taking Ari's out, business.
Yeah. And so then Ari danced naked behind Roy Wood Jr. the entire song while Roy Wood just was less like looking at him. And I said right afterwards, I said, the only thing that Roy Wood Jr. can think right now is this is not happening.
It was incredible, dude. It was incredible. Every year it becomes bigger and better. And I want to thank everyone once again for being a part of it. All the volunteers, all the people that came out and fucking put their time in. That did it for just a couple tickets for the weekend. All the photographers that came out and took pictures, dude. So many people volunteer just for free tickets. They're like, dude, we want to work. What can we do? We can't afford to pay our massive, massive staff. Luckily, we can afford to pay a lot of our producers here. Gas Digital was a sponsor of the event. Everyone came out from the event. I mean, Shannon walks around like a goddamn celebrity the whole weekend. Shannon, how many guys tried to fuck you this weekend?
No, not as many as I think you'd think, but I took like pictures and signed autographs and stuff, and it was freaking crazy. I wish that was real life.
Yeah, it is real life. It is real life.
It's amazing.
You know, you did a great job in the roast battle as well. You beat Mike Harrington.
Yay, thank you.
God, he was so uncomfortable and awkward.
I don't understand what he was doing.
He's doing this weird intimidating thing where he'd like walk toward her and like
I was so scared. I didn't know what was coming towards me when he was doing that, but it wasn't anything funny.
Oh man. Look, you had to be there for a lot of it. That's the other thing about Skankfest as well, where I love like you know, some of the pictures, some of the videos. You know, I love the fact that most of it you have to be there. You have to be there to experience it. You're not going to understand
because it only exists for that group of people.
Yeah, it's like it's an experiential thing, dude. The Tough Crowd reunion we did last year. I mean, we had Colin Quinn agree to do a Tough Crowd reunion where him and his best friends got together and did an episode of Tough Crowd for the Skankfest fans. I mean, do you know what that is? I don't know. Maybe I'm just too much of a nerd. Maybe that doesn't fucking mean anything. But it's like, are we Trump supporters? Because that's the fucking coolest thing in the world. What are you talking about? You crazy psychos. This has nothing to do with politics or anything like that. This is just about...
That Tough Crowd reunion would be the equivalent for comedy fans. Like if the cast of Friends showed up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And did an episode of Friends unfilmed.
Yeah.
After all this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, dude, I was in the green room at one point, and Pat Reagan and I, we were just about to do our Reagan and Watkins show.
I'm so happy Pat got to come out this year.
It was great, man.
Did he love it?
Dude, it was great. We got to do like our album release show out there, and it was awesome, man. He had a great time.
Good.
And we were literally going over our songs and rehearsing in the green room while Jake the Snake is right across from us, and he's just like, just kind of like, oh, that's funny. Yeah.
That's so cool, dude. The whole thing is so cool. I'm really happy for anybody who wants to hate, dude. You know, look, you guys, you're fueling the fire. You're fueling it to a much higher level. You are you're making people love the brand even more. So I thank you. The more you hate it, the more people are going to love it. The more people that are there, the energy that will spread. There's you'll never convince people that were there that they were at anything but anything, you know, anything but something really special and really positive and full of fucking love. And you know, you'll never beat it, and it'll just keep on growing. The reason it's gotten bigger every year is because you can't do it. The reason the sponsors come back every year, you'll never convince the sponsors that they're a part of something bad.
Yeah.
They come back because they're like, no, we want to be a part of this every single fucking year. Infinite CBD came back and they were like, dude, we need to be a part of this every year. Houston, we're there. Next year, we're there. They want to be a part of it. The fans are, there's no other fans like that in the world. So I got to say thank you. We're going to do a couple little segments on the show to end the show. This is a little bit of a Skankfest wrap up. My groin's all fucked up. My voice all fucked up. So it's going to be a little bit of a shorter show today, but we'll get a couple.
Those two things are related, but
yeah. So let's get some scams in. We've never done a scam that year with Jeremiah Watkins. Let's do it, baby boys.
I'm a very desperate man and I live with my mother.
Scam that, Jew.
All right. So, we have our fan send in the best, easy to pull off, really not that illegal scams.
It's something you can talk your way out of.
Yeah, you get a free sandwich, some milkshake, some coffee, whatever it is. You know, something's easy to pull off, but also guaranteed to work off. And the winner gets a free Scam That You t-shirt. The only way to get a Scam That You t-shirt is to send in a winning scam. You can't buy the shirt anywhere in the entire world. You want to show it? Scam that.
Ooh.
Chew.
Look at that.
There we go. It's a nose.
Wow, you got my nose on the back of a shirt. That's great.
Jeremiah Watkins shirt. So what do we got here, Shannon? Anything good?
Kinda.
Okay.
The first one is from Ryan. Hey, guys, this is Ryan. So we all know we can get some free deals on our birthday. The best one I found is Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's gives a free regular sub and 22-ounce drink worth about $10. This coupon is good for 1 year at all USA locations. Make sure to use your real name and birthday because it will be on the emailed coupon. The rub is that you can sign up with multiple email accounts. I got about 10 on my last birthday, which covers my Jersey Mike's cravings for the year.
Wait a minute. Time out. You sign up with different email accounts, but how do they know your birthday? You just sign up with your birthday.
Yes, but it's the coupon's good for a year. It just said, right?
Yeah, it says
you don't have to get it on your birthday.
Oh,
so
that's
you pick
pretty
any
dope.
Birthday with any email address. That's a great scam. So if I wanted to, I could literally just go create 20 email addresses right now. Say my birthdays are coming up over the course of the next 20 weeks, right? There's no way to really do that. And then just have my Friday Jersey Mike subs for 20 weeks straight every single week. Free birthday sandwich, correct?
Yes.
And it could be the same birthday. The things are good for a year. Right?
So it looks like what this guy does is he signs up with a bunch of different email addresses, but the same birthday, and then that one day he gets like 20 coupons.
I'm sure. Here's the thing. This is a great scam, but just people know in the future, the sign up for a free birthday thing is off the table now. You don't get to use this. If you find out that Carvel gives you a free ice cream cone on your birthday, you don't get to also use it for that. You're not going to win if this guy wins. This is solid, but this overall is just some knowledge. Look, you could probably do this with any free birthday thing. And I think there's a website that shows you all of the free birthday deals you get. I'm pretty sure there is. So you could probably just do that and keep on signing up for things. You don't have to pay for things.
Yeah, it's on like the life hack pages.
Yeah, okay, go ahead. Give me another one.
You guys Jersey Mike fans?
I don't think we have them here.
No, we don't have them here. We have them in like Philly. I think there's one.
I have one grievance against Jersey Mike. One time I went in there, bought like an $11 sandwich, right? And I'm like, I just want a cup for water. And they're like, oh, okay, well, we're actually out of our cups for water. You can have a soup bowl. And I was like, well, just give me like a soda cup and you can watch me put water in it. They would not. They made me drink water out of a bowl like a dog rather than give me a freaking soda cup. Are you kidding me?
I've seen Chinese food places do that where they give you the like wonton soup container.
What?
Just to shame you.
I just spent $12.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all. That also adds to why this guy could win because we're fucking over Jersey Mike's.
I know. So I'm all about it. All
right. So free sandwiches from Jersey Mike's. I liked it. It's not bad. It's not bad. Good, Shannon.
Okay, next one is from Kev. What's up, baby boy? I've got a really good Walmart scam that requires a little work but saves a lot. I noticed this the first time my wife and I purchased diapers on the pickup app. We ordered two small pack 32 diapers, $8.97, and picked a certain kind and put no substitutes at checkout. Went to pick up like normal, and to our delight was given two boxes of diapers that were $39 and 164 count. We're told if any item is not available, they just give you the size bigger at no extra charge. So now when we order diapers and say 4 p.m. pickup, We go to the store around 2:45, put the smaller diapers, which is usually only 6 to 10 packs of the brand we use, and we always get the larger box diapers. We save like $100.
What are they? They hide them?
I don't quite understand it.
I'm assuming it's going to hide them. I feel like somebody else sent something similar like this in where they moved something around in the store so it became out of stock. That's an interesting scam. That's not bad.
Yeah, they're saying they're saving like $5,200 a year.
That's a solid scam, but it's also very specific. You have to have a baby. You have to give up your pride.
I mean,
you have to consistently go to Walmart.
Yeah. It's not bad, though, to save some money on some diapers. It's a solid scam right there. All right, give me another one.
Okay, next one's from Joseph. Hey, guys, Joseph from Kearney, New Jersey again. Easy scam for anyone that works at a small department store like a CVS, which I did. Hold on a second. I'm sorry. Belts best used when you work the closing shift. Find a small expensive item that you need at home or something easy to sell online. 15 minutes before the store closes, put an item in a CVS bag and throw it out in the garbage inside the store. Hopefully you're on garbage duty and you get to collect all the garbage inside the store and bring it out. There's to the back.
None. You're not getting a job at fucking CVS so you can steal a fucking pair of headphones at the end of the night.
All right, here's a scam. You go to CVS, you start collecting all the receipts. You make a bed out of it. You have yourself a bed in a couple days.
All you got to do is dig through the garbage.
All right. There's a birthday party. You go to CVS. You take all the receipts. Use them as streamers around your house. It's great.
That's a bad scam, Shannon.
Here's one more.
Yeah.
This is from Dick. What's up, big dog? This is literally the easiest scam going, and all you need is a Twitter account. The majority of legitimate companies monitor social media mainly for negative comments. Last year, I ordered a soccer jersey from fanatics.com, and one of the numbers was barely peeled on the corner. I bitched about it on Twitter, tagging the company, and they DM'd me for my address and sent another no questions asked. Since then, I tweet companies about everything, real and bullshit scenarios, and they replace the item or provide a gift card or preloaded debit card. Purchase a meal from a legitimate restaurant chain, tweet them and let them know the order was wrong. Free gift card guaranteed.
Yeah, I mean, look, yeah, that's fine. That's solid. There's things. There's different things, okay? So you have that Scam That Jew lifestyle, which I appreciate you're living, okay? He's living that lifestyle, which is fine, okay? I live that lifestyle all times.
I'm living my best life.
You are. But that's not a scam. You're not giving me anything specific. You're letting me know that, yes, fine. Anytime, here's what you can do. Anytime you fly, this is a better scam than that. Anytime you fly, after you get off the flight, tweet, be like, yeah, flight really sucked. My TV wasn't working. Somebody from the company and tag the company. Then somebody from, even if your TV is working, it doesn't matter. Somebody from the company is going to hit you up. You give them your flight number. You say, yeah, this was it. Be like, give them your seat. It doesn't matter. They're not checking. They're not sending somebody to check that fucking airplane. There's no way. Okay. It's easier to just give you a $25 voucher than it is to fucking send somebody to go and check that thing. They know when maintenance is needed in those fucking planes. Okay.
Good thing there was not Twitter on 9/11. They would have got some real angry.
United is
circling Manhattan for hours.
Destroyed on Twitter. that's fine, but that's not really a specific scam at all.
That's just a lifestyle choice.
You got to live that life, baby boy. Anything else, Shannon?
There's one more. It's really weird and specific. Do you want me to read it?
Go ahead.
Okay. This is from Lila. Doggy, a couple weeks ago, I think you guys talked about race to dinner, which I don't remember ever talking about, which involves a feather Indian and an N-word lady putting on a dinner for white women who feel guilty. The point of this dinner is to have guests who are black.
Never talked about it.
Yeah, no, I've never heard of this before. The point of the dinner is to have guests who are black and brown, and they all gang up on the white woman and yell at her for being racist. I contacted Race to Dinner with this burner email, pretending I wanted to host one of these dinners at my house. They sent me this packet that I have attached for you. The way the dinner works is to schedule a dinner, you put down $400, non-refundable. You have to pay another $700 for the two ethnic people who run Race to Dinner, another $235 donation to charity, pay for 2 hours for an unknown number of staff at the dinner who get paid $15.
Plus, Shannon, what the fuck is this? Is this person plugging his weird racist business?
You can sign up now at Racist.
Yeah. Do you want to call an old black lady racist names? Come to Race to Dinner. What the fuck is this? Yeah. It's not a bad business.
There's like three more lines. I think it's going to go some. I don't know. All this to get yelled at. If this actually works, he's saying this is the greatest scam of all time. He says, if this actually works, it's the greatest scam of all time. But obviously, it's not my scam, so I can't win the shirt. But you can give the t-shirt to one of the people at Race to Dinner. And one of the women just happened to include her cell phone number in the packet. So I guess he's saying this whole thing.
So he's plugging it for somebody else. Okay.
He's plugging a business for somebody.
one of the new sponsors of 2020 Skankfest.
What the fuck is this?
That we did not talk about.
No.
This.
No, we didn't. This, I don't like the fact that they just they snuck a plug in for their dumb business. This is all going to be edited out, likely. It's making me furious. What is this?
I legitimately think this is something that this person found out about and thinks it's a scam because it's so expensive that he's saying that they're scamming people.
You need to sit in your discomfort. Dear white women, you've caused immeasurable pain and damage to brown and black women. We're here to sit with you and candidly explain to you how you caused this pain and damage. So you're paying black women and brown women to sit down and talk to you about how terrible white people are? That's the best scam ever. Yeah, he's right.
Yeah. Just take the bus.
This is great. These bitches will, you pay them to sit down and make you feel bad about being white? Doggy, I will have them on the show. Can we pay them to do an episode of the podcast?
I'll reach out to them.
Oh, we're going to fucking get them on Legion of Skanks.
We have her cell phone number.
I like how he first you're like, what is this? This is brilliant.
It's the best. All right. Let me answer some questions. Let's do some questions, then we'll get out of here. I got to run out of here somewhat soon, guys.
Give me a fucking answer. 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 I'm asking you for the answer. It's a question.
All right, here you go. On Twitter, Michael C. Marona, who is Big Pete from Pete and Pete. This guy regularly trolls me on the internet. And I don't like to name names, but I'm also done not naming names, right? So I have this responsibility to not... Because my fans will call you a pussy and a fag on the internet, so I'm not supposed to ever subtweet you or quote tweet you when you're talking shit about me and my friends, right?
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. What do you want me to say, Big Pete? You fucking lose. That's Little Pete. That's you leave Little Pete alone. He's a good man. He was on Legion of Skanks. And it, hold on, look at that. By the way,
and his uncle works at the Belmore.
Yeah, I love Little Pete. Little Pete's the fucking man. We'll get Little Pete on the show again. Big Pete is a fucking cunt.
Yeah, and I hope he got molested by Artie, the strongest man in the world.
This guy, he constantly just fucking tweets at me. I'm like, dude, I don't fucking know you. I don't care about you. Beat it, you loser. You were a child star. You've been able to parlay that into 5,000 Twitter followers. What a loser. What a fucking loser. I mean, grow the fuck up. You're tweeting at podcast hosts now. Grow up. So he asks, why do you platform Nazis and sexual predators? What do I say to this?
I think you covered it pretty well in the first chunk of the podcast.
Listen to the beginning of the podcast, Michael C. Marona. Get a life. I don't know what else to say. It's like, I wouldn't know who you are. I wouldn't be thinking about none of these people. I've never tweeted at any of these people. I've never talked about any of these people. I don't give a fuck about any of these people. And then they come and talk shit on Twitter. And when my fans call them mean names, they go, oh my God, your fans are bullying me. Okay, you fucking deserve it.
You came at me first, bro.
There was these kids in my neighborhood or kids in like elementary school who were like really small. And they talk shit. They were like little kids. But they talk shit because they knew you couldn't beat them up because they were small. You know what I'm saying? It was like a weird reverse bullying thing that they would do. And I'm fucking sick of it. Michael C. Marona, you suck fucking dick. Go fuck yourself. I don't care. Okay, dude, stop fucking mentioning me. Stop coming into my world. You're a fucking, what a weirdo. What a weird, obsessed loser.
You can always block.
I'm not even, no, I don't block people. I refuse. Yeah. I refuse to block people.
I just started muting people. That feels good.
No, I don't mute people either. I can't
do it. I like it because then they just don't know they're putting it into the ether.
Oh.
No, I feel like that still has them win. I want them to know that I don't really give a fuck about them. But this guy really fucking cares about me. So he can go fuck himself. Why am I platforming Nazis and sexual predators? Because it's hilarious. That's why. Michael C. Marona. Why don't you create something? Won't you stop living on fucking Twitter and other people's business, you fucking loser? Laura Schumacher says, not a question, but can you please tell Jeremiah he's such a kind soul and was the last person on stage deserving of a bottle to the eye?
Oh, yeah. I got hit in the eye with a bottle of water during Four Non-Blondes. What? Why during that song?
I felt so bad because it was like a night without incident. Hey. Like, what a loving moment. And then a bottle just flings through the crowd. Hits
Jeremiah. Somebody sent me a video of it, actually.
Is it a good video?
Yeah, it's pretty good, well, actually.
At least you got that.
Yeah.
Did you look thirsty?
Not at all. I was just like looking around like it's the very last song of Skankfest, and then I don't know, yeah. But it's all good.
Let's see.
Just a little scratched.
Maddie underscore Drummond, if the bonfire was ever canned from Sirius Comedy Central, do you think Jay and Dan and the crew would go to gas? Maybe too strong of a question, but I'd love to know. Yeah, I think so. I think if they ever didn't work with SiriusXM and they were going to do a podcast, I could not imagine them doing a podcast anywhere else. Yeah, why would they? And to be honest with you, they'd make more money with a podcast. They would. They could do what they want to do. They own their own content. They could sell fucking merch. They could do what they want to do with it. I would love to do a podcast with Dan and Big J. Fuck it. We don't need anybody but ourselves. We know better than everybody. Let's see. Anybody else? Let's see.
I have a question.
What's that?
Who's the number one comic that has eluded a Skankfest booking? Somebody that now that you got Louis, who's one that's like your white whale? It's like, oh, I would love to have them.
I'd love Burr to perform a set at Skankfest. I'd like to get Rogan at Skankfest because I think the fans would fucking
tear the roof off the place. Lose their minds.
And it's not like everything. Once again, we can't afford Rogan. There's no affording Rogan. But what we can do is put it into the ether and fucking, if Rogan happens to be
at
that place at that time and all the things come together, I'm telling you right now, Rogan.
You just have elk walking around the venue.
Oh, this is weird. This is very strange.
All his favorite things is like lined up.
There's a rare African cougar just waiting to be shot and walking around Skankfest. It's a fucking compression bow.
Yeah.
I
think it's very, very likely if it lines up where, you know, if
it would have to line
let's
up.
Say he was doing like a big theater or something, even in Houston or something, or, you know, down the line where it's like it lines up where he's already there, there's no doubt about it.
It would just have, things have to sort of line up.
Yeah.
The thing is, the way Skankfest works is we can't afford to book these huge, massive celebrities. We can't do it. What we can do is we can create this, like, it's this massive party for comics.
Yeah.
And everyone's friends are there. And everyone goes, oh, shit, did you hear about that? And then everyone goes, fuck, I wish I was there.
Everybody has FOMO. After hearing about Skankfest.
Yeah, dude. Burt Kreischer all weekend tweeting.
Oh,
like,
of course.
Burt was at number two. He wasn't there the past 2 years. He's got to be there next year.
Yeah, I got hit up by so many different listeners and stuff that when I posted that picture of me as Big J, like, they're like, how was I not here for perfect. Like the like different things?
I leaned into Dave Smith as soon as they're about to introduce you guys. I was like, if they're not dressed up as the Legion of Skanks, it's a missed opportunity. And it was perfect. And you came out fucking, it was great. And then me and fucking Joelberg traded places.
Dude, I liked that. I liked how you played it a lot. Like how you guys kept high-fiving each other.
Like, yeah, our bad jokes.
Oh, it was great, dude. That was hilarious.
It was an excellent Kill Tony. Excellent Legion of Skanks. I mean, really epic fucking week overall. Let's see. Any other questions? I think this is really it.
Do you want to do a quick round of plugs before we wrap?
Oh yeah, plugs. Yeah, let's do some plugs, and then we'll wrap this one up. Thank you guys for listening. Jeremiah, what do you got to plug, my friend?
Man, I have a new album out, my debut comedy album, music comedy with Pat Reagan. It's called Reagan and Watkins. It's available on all platforms right now. Please go check it out and download it. And then I've got a great podcast called Jeremiah Wonders, which when you guys are in town, love to get you on in LA. And follow me on social media across the board at Jeremiah Standup, and my tour dates and everything are at jeremiahwatkins.tv.
Very cool. Zach Amico.
Twitter and Instagram, Zach is not funny. Check out my other show on the network, Zach Amico's Midnight Spook Show, every Friday at midnight, comics watching horror movies. And hey, that Capital Wrestling show is going to be out on iPay-Per-View. So keep an eye on me and Lewis's social media if you want to check that out.
I think you guys will get a big kick out of the me and Harrington fight, and then the aftermath with
the whole thing was Chuck. And the whole thing was a fucking great.
You
show.
Guys are gonna love it, dude. Zach is a killer on that. It's fucking great. You've really found your voice over there, and I love it. So, yeah, guys, I don't really have anything to plug anymore. How sad is that? Aw,
Houston, man.
Yeah. Houston. I mean, I got more shit coming up. I got fucking San Diego coming up in the fall. I don't know what other dates I got coming. Boston's coming up in the fall. Oh, man, it's all over.
Nah,
he takes out a gun and shoots himself.
Cast Digital, go subscribe, use promo code RAP.
That's such a funny way to be like, I guess, subscribe, guys.
I'm sad, man. All the big things of the year are fucking over to promote. The special came out.
I have a feeling that there's going to be something else.
We always have something else coming up. But boy, you know what's going on.
Oh, man.
I'll have an announcement and a better announcement coming up sometime soon. This is what we do. We pick it up. We start working again. Literally, I'm leaving here to go and look at a brand new venue for Skankfest NYC. So wish me luck on that, guys. Go subscribe on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star ranking, positive review. I love everyone for listening, and we will check you on Friday. Peace.
That's all, folks.